From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
You know, a very, very innocent little girl. So Jesus said, you know, I'll come and pray for her. So Jesus decides to head towards Jairus' house. Then, a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. And we say it all the time that when it comes to that time of your life, that seasonal thing, sometimes women get worried because it's either it flows a lot or it doesn't flow a lot. If it flows a lot, they have complaints. If it doesn't flow a lot, they have complaints. If it comes early, they have complaints. If it doesn't come, their heart is beating. Especially when they are not married. Yeah. Twelve years she's been bleeding. You don't have an idea. You see, I have come to realize in these few months that we actually don't understand the Bible and we don't believe the Bible. Yeah. The woman bleeds for 12 years. Every day she has to use a pad. For 365 days times 12. We don't understand. You can only assume how she looked like. If you lose blood for 12 years, you probably will become a skeleton. I'm sure she probably will go to Georgetown Hospital for a little bit of blood transfusion. That the doctors will say, you know what, you're losing blood, so come, let's get some blood into your system. I'm sure. Whatever they used to do in Israel in those days. Because you can't bleed for 12 years and be the same. But somehow, when she heard about Jesus, she said, this is my last chance, because she has gone to Balawan Singh. She has gone to Medical Arts. She has gone to Mercy Hospital. She got to Woodlands. Even ended up in Georgetown. Nobody could help her. All that is that, go and do x-ray. Go and do CT scan. Go and do something. Every day, go and do something. Go and bring the results. And they said, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. Are you go and take this antibiotics. Take this medication. This one is for the pain. But you know what? 2 weeks later, if it doesn't help, come back. Like 12 years. Then he meets this man who walks around like he doesn't have an aim. Walks around like he doesn't have any business. Walks around and people follow him. This man had actually just a few moments ago cast out 6,000 devils. From a man that nobody could handle. If you see the man, you have to go and hide somewhere. Because he was totally violent. The Bible says he would take stones and he would cut himself with the stones. And blood would come and he would be... Everybody was afraid of this guy. He meets Jesus. And then in a split second, the guy now begins to act normal. He continues to Jairus' house. Feels for Jairus' daughter. Then this woman who has been suffering for 12 years. I don't know where her husband was. I'm sure the husband had actually left her. Because, yeah, there will be some orders. This woman says, you know what? I have heard about this Jesus. I believe beyond a doubt. The way I know and I've heard about him, I don't have to see him. He doesn't have to talk to me. In my state, in my condition, I am even ashamed for him to see me. So you know what? All I would do is that I will go from behind, find my way from behind the crowd, and make sure that in all my weakness and my smelling condition, I will touch but the hem of his garment. And she presses on against all odds, against all who want to see Jesus. And if you don't know that Jesus was somebody who was in high demand, people just wanted to catch a glimpse of him. Then you should ask Zacchaeus, he will tell you. Because Zacchaeus was the same guy who also had heard much about this Jesus. He said, you know what? Today I heard he's passing through to Jericho. Let me climb a tree. Because if I try, I will not be able to see him. So let me, I know who I am. Trees are the ones that will help me. I'm not going to waste my time trying to tell somebody, please help me. Can you lift me up? Let me see. No. I am not. This is a moment I can't depend on somebody. I know what to do. There's a tree there. I will climb the sycamore tree so I can catch a glimpse of Jesus. Zacchaeus, a big man in town. He was working at GRA, one of the commissioner generals or something. Yeah, tax collector. With all his pride and his big man, climbed a tree like a monkey just to see Jesus, the Son of God, wants to see. So I am saying that to have Jesus walk and people are with him. He had 12 guys around him. Those of us with one or two people crying, it's very difficult for you to come around us. How much more when you have 12 soldiers with you? It's not an easy thing. And then the crowd, then this woman who has been bleeding, who is weak, who's lost a lot of blood, comes from behind and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And the Bible says that the moment the woman touched the hem, Jesus' clothes, the Bible says immediately she felt in her the fountain of the flow ceased. At the same time, Jesus also felt that something left him towards somebody else. You should be so sensitive that when somebody who is wrong touches you, you'll feel it. That's what I'm saying. Many of us, people touch us, we don't even feel that they are funny. If you're very sensitive, if your spirit is healthy and sharp, when strange people touch you, you feel it. In fact, your body and your spirit will react to it. That this touch, this hug, this manicure, this pedicure, this braiding and plaiting of hair, this girl's hands, there's something about it. You know what? Please, I don't want to plait my hair again. I'll come next week. Because the moment the person touched your hair, you felt something. If you are a child of God and you don't feel things, I don't know what kind of person you are. Jesus felt. Not that the person even touched his skin or his body. Jesus felt the anointing flow when the person touched a touch of his garment, his clothes. He felt it. I tell you, this is somebody who is so powerful. I never heard that about Muhammad. No. Not even Selassie. Never heard anything like that. Somebody touches their clothes and they receive healing. 12 years. A problem of 12 years. Do you know what it means to have a problem for 12 years? When you have gone all over, all the hospitals, Trinidad, wherever you go, and nobody can help you. And then you touch somebody who doesn't seem to even be bathing. He just walks around, he doesn't bath. One dress, long dress he's wearing, with some beard. You're wondering why he's not shaving his beard. That he would look better if he was shaving his beard. Then you touch this person's clothes, and your 12-year problem comes to an end. Hey, his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then Jesus discovers the woman and said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." Then he enters Jairus' home. girl is dead. They are crying. Jesus said, why you cry? He said, the girl is dead. He said, no, don't worry. She's asleep. Ah. Enters the house. Brings back the girl to life. So the legion of demons, the woman with the issue of blood, and Jairus' daughter being brought back to life in Mark chapter 5. It's like everywhere he goes, he's doing good. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 10, verse 13, and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. He enters into Mark chapter 6. And the Bible says that he enters into his own area, Isla Penitence. Verse 1. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. He went out from thence and came into his own country. And his disciples followed him because they wanted to know, you know, where he was born, his mother, and, you know, which room he used to sleep in. And we gather a little bit with Mary and understand how this man used to grow up and what kind of stories, you know, these women can tell us. And the Bible says, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished. You see, they were not with him in chapter 5. So when he started speaking in a certain way in his hometown in the church, the people were wondering, let's be serious. From whence hath this man? Be careful when you call a pastor this man. Be careful when you call an anointed person this man. He has a name. This man, that man, that African man. From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? He goes on and he says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph? They were going into his history. And of Judah and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? So Jesus had brothers and sisters. And they were offended at him. And the Bible says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. That's the house you live in. The people don't really respect this your church thing you talk about. Five. And this is what happened. He could there do no mighty work, save that he had laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Listen to me, church. The anointed man has so much in him for you. Look at chapter 5. Raises somebody from the dead. Now, is it not the right place to do even extra things when you go into your own backyard? Yeah. I mean, don't we say that if you have anything, is it not your own people, your own house, or your own self that has to enjoy from the things that you have worked hard for? You don't give things that are good to outsiders. I mean, in the thought of a normal human being, the things that are good, if anybody was to acquire anything, it has to be in their country. Like for a long time, Eddie Grant used to live in Barbados. Because with all his fame and all his money, the tax in Guyana and also copyright laws, there were no copyright laws. So he can't live here, Because his music will just be, you see his music on the roadside, America Street, Regent Street, people selling his CDs. When in Barbados, they have copyright laws. So if he writes a song and it hits the world music market, and then he has copyright, he will get money. He said he's worth his gift and his talent. That's why he didn't live in Guyana. He only bought an island and built a house there. He comes to enjoy himself and he goes back to Barbados. Now look at it. If somebody who is from a country is blessed, where should they be? Where should they live? It's not the country. That is, in fact, it is the country that people will even honor you. People will wake up in the morning and say, hey, do you know my neighbor is this, my neighbor is that? No. On the contrary, the person is blessed, but he lives in a foreign country. Jesus raises somebody from the dead, cast out 6,000 demons, and then a woman with a blood issue for 12 years touches his dress, and the person is healed. Now he goes to his hometown. Then people begin to wonder, who is this guy? I know him. It's not his mother here. People now begin to look down upon him, despise him. The problem is not what and how you see a man of God. The problem is what you don't get. Should I say it again? Yes. The problem is not necessarily how you treat the man of God. Because as for your treatment of the man of God, it's up to you. It's your choice. You can respect him or don't respect him. You can insult him or don't insult him. You can abuse him. You can say all kinds of things about him. You can go into his history if you know him and all of that. That's not the problem. It's your choice. It's something that you can choose to do whether you like to do that. But the Bible says that there is something called mighty things that this same guy carries with him. And depending on how you relate, how you see, how you treat, how you feel about this man, great things will either happen to you or not. And ladies and gentlemen, all of us want nice things to happen to us. Don't you want nice things to happen to us? Don't you want to hear good things happen to us in our lives and all of that? Yeah. So now, if the good things that is going to happen to us is in the hands and in the power of a man of God, then I don't care where he comes from. I don't care whether he was a carpenter or he was a medical doctor or he's a tout. I want my miracle. I want my blessing. Didn't you realize that Jairus didn't care whether he was a carpenter or not? Didn't you realize that the woman with the issue of blood didn't even care to even talk to him? She knew it. That this man had mighty things in him. Now, these mighty things are released. And that's what we are talking about. The honor and the anointing. These mighty things are released when the man who is carrying this anointing is respected and is honored. So you should be careful about honoring, right? Because what I understand and what I know about us, our country and our culture is that we don't regard people in high authority in the church. It's a disease in our country. And then the country has not been helped also with some bad news from other pastors. So it makes us become very disrespectful to pastors. You see, but it's not all pastors who are the same. Some pastors are very mighty. I would say that today, if my father was alive, my father would have been 94 today. 24th of January. And it was this morning that for the first time in my preaching life, being a Christian, I gave my life to Christ in 1989. That's about 29 years ago. Oh? 1989 is about 29 years ago. Where were you? Andreska, you were not born. It's been worth just having the Lord in my life. I was living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me the light. If there was no heaven, was ever promised to me, neither no streets of gold. It's been worth 29 years serving the Lord. I have been preaching since 1995. 23 years. So I became a pastor 6 years after I gave my life to Christ. How long have you given your life to Christ, and why are you not a pastor? This morning was the first time in my entire life that I was texting with God back and forth. You are clapping, but I'm sure you don't understand what I'm saying. It's okay. Your clapping is okay. It's nice. Yeah. I was texting for about 5 minutes. I mean, I was very excited that for about 5 minutes, God will text and I'll read and I'll respond and He will text back. Like that, like that, like that, like that. When I see typing, and I get excited. I'm waiting to see what He's going to type. Then you know what He did? Then He tells me about a prayer somebody was praying last night in our church, a church member. And gives me the answer to the prayer to tell the person. I don't know whether you know God's phone number. Maybe I should give it to you. I don't know whether you get excited about my God stories and text messages. Yeah. I'm always checking to see whether I have a message. Yeah. People that God has chosen and has given anointing to, they need to be honored. You see, so if you don't respect your father, you don't respect your mother, that's not what you do in a church. In a church, we respect the pastor. That's why in the olden days, they used to call the pastor father. So if you grew up not respecting your father, you grew up not respecting your mother, then please renew your mind, because you are going to run through Christianity without any supernatural, wonderful, mighty works in your life. Your Christianity is going to be very dry. Honor means high public esteem. High respect as for worth, merit, or rank. High esteem as for merit, what? Worth or rank. That is honor. So you honor the anointed because God has chosen this particular individual and has anointed him, has given him His power and His presence. In fact, I think yesterday also, the Lord shouted at me and I was very sad. Yeah, I asked Him something and he shouted at me. I felt very bad that God will shout at me. So I had to ask for forgiveness. So this morning He told me, I am forgiven. Hey. It's like a moon Italia. You have to respect people, men of God, anointed vessels, especially if you're in this church. You have to respect those of us who are above you. Bishop Dagwood Mills, you know, the bishops and Bishop Collins. You have to have high esteem for them because of their rank. Yeah. I prayed for I remember some time ago I prayed for somebody. Then the prayer went so smooth. I mean, I felt a certain ease. But I didn't really pay attention to it in a sense. I mean, I felt that it was a little easy, you know. Then that same time, I was talking to God on my phone. You can see my phone, but you don't get any message. Then God told me that prayer that I was praying, He had to send Archangel Michael to come and help me. Because it wasn't a simple case. Then I perceived, that's why it was quite straightforward a prayer. So, you honor anointed vessels, you hold them in high esteem because of their worth. Is it because we are walking around as simple men? But there are great things that God has put in our bodies for you. Amen. Yeah. The Bible says that, and Jesus could there do no mighty work. Why? Because in that place, instead of Jairus came and bowed to him, Jairus' attitude towards Jesus was very, very phenomenal. A ruler comes to Jesus and he humbles himself. Now he comes to his own country and the people start to talk his name. The Bible said that same place where they talk his name and they did not respect him, that same place, he could not do much. Not that he did not want to do. He could not, because that which provokes the working of mighty works was not given to him. He was not welcomed properly. He was not treated well. And therefore, what God had for the people, it was cut off. Ladies and gentlemen, I said it this afternoon when we were praying. I said that whatever God has told you, it will come to pass if only you unlock it. Let me tell you, if God has promised you, you have to activate the promise by honoring his servant who will speak. Let us change our attitudes from we only give the pastor something when it's his birthday. We only give something when it is Christmas. Somebody said, "But Bishop, I'm a good church member. I pay my tithe. When you give envelopes, I take it and I open it." So what else? Bishop, what else? And I said, "Lord God, have mercy on this somebody." Forget about those things. Some of you, all you do is tithe and offerings. That's all. That is why mighty works are not happening. Yesterday, Tuesday, in a church in Wales, I was surprised. I forgot that I said that. Last Sunday, we have this brother Keon, the tallest guy in the church. And I said to him that, you know, somebody is going to come and overtake you. He's going to be taller than you. Somebody is going to come. That's what the people told me I said. Yesterday, a guy came to church, came to give his life to Christ. Keon was standing there. The guy was standing there, and he was taller than Keon. It's like magic. When I finished praying with them, then I said, ah, Chele, you are tall. You are taller than Keon. Then my people said, you said this on Sunday. I said, really? I said this. Yeah, you said this on Sunday. Do you know what God told the people of Israel who were prophets? He said, if somebody says something and it comes to pass, that is the mark of a prophet. When somebody says something and it comes to pass. Sunday morning, you know, I wanted to, the folks that I work with in Wales, I wanted them to be here with me Sunday mornings, and then all of us will rush to Wales and go and do our work and all that. So Sunday morning, when I was leaving, I was saying that, you know what, I need these guys here, but, you know, to all move and within 1 hour go and prepare and start church and mobilize people, it's going to be hectic. So I said, you know, we need a bus. I need a bus Sunday morning. So I told Pastor Phoebe, I said, go online, check Japan, check prices of buses. Let me see what is there and what is available. We shall buy a bus. So as we're going, you know, she was telling me the prices, the type of buses, the year and all of that. I said, we need a bus. Sunday afternoon, somebody came for a meeting in Wales with me. The person has a bus that has been parked for 5 years. That's the back bus outside there. You see a bus out there? Minibus? That's the bus. That same day, Sunday, I got the bus. It's right there. The bus is there. Papers, key, everything. Today, we went to buy tires, you know. So, I have envelopes for you. Yeah, I bought 40,000 worth of tires, some used ones. I don't want to buy new ones. I bought used ones to start with. It's WeBus. You see Shepherd House International on the bus very soon. But you got to bring them. You got to bring the money in. What do you think? I said Sunday morning, I need a bus. Bus is there. So, you have to understand that there are some people, you don't think your eye can pass them. Elisha, I like him. He used to pass by a woman's house. Then one day the woman said, please come and eat. Elisha said, I don't eat in people's homes. He said, please come and eat. Force constrained and anacazzled Elisha to come and eat in the house. Then the woman said, please, I beg you. Anytime you're passing on Freeman Street, please stop by. My name is Anita McLean. Please stop by. At least some little bacon salad fish and some orange juice. At least before you continue your journey. So the Bible says Elisha will pass and then go and eat and go and eat. And then one day the woman told her husband, "Say, you know what? I feel we should create a one-bedroom apartment in this house. Put a bed, put a table, put a chair, put this there. And when this man of God is coming, he should not just eat. He should rest his head." You see, the problem now and then is that these days we have church. So the money seems to come to the church and not to the man. We have also set up ourselves that the church is an organization. So the offering that you give, it is the church's own. It is used to do the church's things. But what has happened is that it makes you forget that the person who is God has placed to lead the church is the one who actually through whom all the things are going on. And that in as much as you help the church to run, you must also appreciate the man who God has placed in the church. Yeah. Let us not be Christians who don't appreciate men of God. Because remember, great work, mighty works. When Elisha began to sleep in the air-conditioned room in the woman's house, he called his servant and said, hey, this woman, what can we do for her? What does she need? Hey, have you heard that question before? That what do you want? How many times do you hear that question in your life? What can I do for you? You get Basidi. Because your list is about 204. You not even know which one to talk about first. Somebody makes a mistake to ask you, what should I do for you? You get blackout. And when you get up, you get blackout again. You say, what did you say? He said, please tell me what I should do for you. And then you blackout again. Because you can't believe that somebody's asking you. Then Gehazi said, I have seen, as we've been passing through, I've not seen any child crying. I've not seen any little boy. So I think she doesn't have a child. So Elisha went, zeroed in on the child. The widow said, please, don't, please don't tease me. I like you. You can come here, sleep and eat and go. Don't bring children's story here. I beg you. Do not lie unto thine handmaid. Elisha said, you shall give birth. Hey! It was not in the church. Oh. Now, how does somebody say you shall give birth and then truly, you give birth? That person has to have a good relationship with God for whatever he says for God to move. Because it's God who gives children. God who gives babies. How did Elijah arrive at that point where he asked the woman, he asked his servant, what should we do for the woman? Because the woman treated him well. Esteemed him high because of his wealth, his rank. Not rank like food, right? Rank. Or meat. Not fish rank. A rank in a sense of how and where he stands in the spiritual realm. Just for the sake of argument, I try to bring some of my stories so that you can either decide for yourself who am I around here. Just decide for yourself. I said, was it last Sunday? A white man came into my office and gave me an envelope with Grangers inside. You see the black vehicles? Motorcade, motor rider. Black vehicle one, black vehicle two. You hear the siren, Granger coming. It was in the envelope. It was quiet, but it was Granger's. Green like leaves. New like they just came from the manufacturing plant. Then I asked myself, how do I deserve all these things? The things that an anointed person encounters, they are too supernatural. You see, Elisha really was not supposed to be concerned about where to stay. The people around were supposed to be the one who was supposed to take care of where he should stay. Elijah was not supposed to think about what he will eat. The pastor, the man of God, is not supposed to think about what he will eat. The people that the man of God has been given to, the people must make sure the man of God eats. He gets clothes to wear. He has a place to put his head, accommodation. That's what you do to a man of God. You honor him. You give. You because he's not just a person. You are seeing God through this individual. Oh, I hope I'm making sense to somebody tonight. I told somebody in the church. I said, you should just bring money and say, Bishop, please, this is 1 million. Anything the church wants to do, don't wait for the church to say we need something. Why should we always be asking you when you know you have? Why have you become so selfish? Why? Why has money began to control you? Since when? How small money you have? You want the church to bring out envelopes before you come out and take envelopes? Some people are asking me, Bishop, are you going to do fundraising for the bus? I said, fundraising? When the people are coming to the yard, they should see that the bus is there. I'm trying to teach the people a bit more of mature thinking. See that the thing is there. It's there. It's going to be there until something happens to it for it to move. And that something is money. when you get on board, you pay. Yeah. It doesn't matter you give us 20,000 to fix something, you still pay when you get inside. Yeah. Because it's not, I don't think it's an easy thing to run a transport company. You want me to get headaches for transport also? I beg you. Let me just focus on the preaching and the ministering of the word. And you worry about the transport. You fix it. You deal with it. And when I see it, every time it should be okay. What do you think? I can't stop preaching. Go and focus on tire. Today, I had to drive my car to the vulcanizer to get tires to come and put another car. Where are the church members? I had to pay for the tithes, which I'm coming to collect from you tonight. Because you are supposed to give me money. I'm not supposed to use my money to buy tithes for the boss, church boss. Elijah didn't have money. He used to just walk around. Then God says, hey, widow, call the man inside and give him food. Elijah said, I don't eat like that. I said, please come. Please come. It's God who takes care of his people. But he uses the people that he has given the man of God to do that kind of job. And because, you see, I had to disrespect divine protocol and say that I was going into my vehicle one night, going home right here in the church. I went out, I went into my car. A gentleman approached me and gave me an envelope with Grangers. When I went home and I was trying to find out what was there, it was $25,000 bills. And I said, I said, I'm breaking protocol to tell you that some of you, your salary is not even $100,000 a month. But then one night, somebody just hands me $100,000. Well, why would you not respect and honor somebody like that? $100,000 is finished. I think the next day is finished. What's $100,000? Yeah. Yeah. When I serve God, you say 100,000. When I serve God Almighty, who sends me text message, you say 100,000. What's 100,000? When I can send him a text message and say, God, please, I need money. I tell the next day you to come. Eh? I ask God to tell me all those people in the church who have money who are not giving it. Yeah. 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 And then he said, no. When God says no, I respected his no. But he said, there are people in the church I've given to you to support you. And he said, he told me, there are more coming. Now, so if you are here, be careful, oh. This afternoon, I said somebody has to. Was it yesterday or today? I said yesterday, somebody has to bring 180,000. I said otherwise, your money will get lost. It was yesterday. I said that. I said you have to bring 180,000. Otherwise, your money will get lost. When your money gets lost, you are the one I was talking about. When I spoke to the Lord about those he has given to me, then somebody came to my office to give me an envelope. Then it was as if the Holy Spirit was saying, number one. Then somebody came to talk to me about their finances. And as I was talking to the person, the Holy Spirit said, number two. I'm marking all of you. I'm marking all of you. Hallelujah. It happened to Abraham also. He entertained three angels. They ate. And when they were leaving, they said, where is your wife? Then she's in the kitchen. She says, a year from now, she'll be pregnant at 90 years old. Then Sarai heard it from the kitchen, and then she laughed. He said, them people, they don't understand what's going on. You, Sarah, rather don't understand that a certain vessel has walked into your house and he had some words in his mouth, but he took some meal. Is it? What is a meal? You think about it. Do you think that the man of God really wants your food? No, it is the honor. It is the thought. It is the respect you give. God has made it such that when you honor the man of God, you honor the anointing, that you provoke blessings from the person. Remember the same thing Isaac called Esau and told Esau, go and make some venison for me. That nice thing you normally make. Make one for me and let me bless you. Why can you not bless him without the venison? Because the person has to do something to you before that anointing will be activated. It's like you plant something and then you reap as a result of the planting. Learn this thing in your life, ladies and gentlemen. Learn this thing in the church, that it takes some planting to bring something out of the anointed vessel. If you don't bring things out of the man of God, you are likely just going to be sailed through the church. You check your Bible and see. Check your Bible and see. Once the anointed man is provoked, he says some good things. When he's not treated well, he says bad things also. And they all happen. They all happen. They all happen. Jesus says, oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. You who kill the prophets that I sent to you. He said, how I wish I could gather you like a hen gathered his chicks. I said, you would not. And he said, Jesus told Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's like if you don't change your attitude towards men of God that are sent into you, there's a certain peace and there's a certain prosperity that you will not get. Sweetie darling, please learn this thing. You have to provoke. And it's very interesting. It's like the bigger, the greater, the more magnificent your offering or your gift is, it is the more you provoke a bigger and a greater unction upon your life. So when I'm coming to preach, don't let there be silence. It's one of the bad things you want to ever do. You should find out if you are in it. You should find out what do we do when the man of God is coming on stage. And do what you're supposed to do. Don't let me walk on stage without a better welcome. Because a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. And don't let it be you. Let me tell you, when I travel, then you see how good a bishop I am. Then when you come back, you have to go to the vulcanizer and buy tires and put it and come and put it on the bus. When you go to other places, you are held in high esteem. In fact, I saw a message from one of my pastors in one of the islands. He was asking me about when I'm coming in, what hotel I want or something. I didn't even read it well. I said, hey, you already started talking about hotel. I want the best hotel in the country. Yeah. Go and sleep on the bed and turn like that. And then turn like that. Yeah, and don't fall. And say, what food do you have here? And then when I'm leaving, I'll bless them and leave. You honor a man of God. I remember I went to a country. The pastor was saying, oh, Bishop, oh, we want you to come and stay in our house. I said, brother, we have stopped those childish things. So when I was a child, I used to behave like a child. I should come and stay in your house. Then when I'm going to do number two, then you come and knock the door. And then you know, and knock the door and say, what do I even say? Isn't that fantastic? The whole bishop, I'm doing number two. And then somebody comes up. I mean, you have to be quiet. Is somebody there? But if I have my own place somewhere, then I enter into number two headquarters. Men at work, downloading megabytes of files, gigabytes, terabytes. Then you can, whether it's a keyboard sound, whether it's a trumpet sound, whatever it is, there's nobody there to be monitoring you. You know, some people, the trumpets, eh? When you go to number two headquarters, some people, they have to play trumpet. The sound of the trumpet. Yeah. There's nobody in the room who is going to say, so I don't want the honor you have for me to decrease. So put me up in a place where when you come, I'll be dressed like that and I'll be sitting there. Hi, are you ready? You want to go and preach? All right, let's go and preach. I don't want you to see me going to number two headquarters with clarinet and trombone and trumpet sound. Then you say that, is he a man of God? Is it that he called himself a man of God? How can a man of God be doing such things? Yeah. So to avoid those things, please put me up. Let me be free. If I snore, it's like choir singing in the night. You can't hear me from your bedroom and wonder. I wake up your wife and say, hey, is it hurricane or what? Honor the anointed. Honor the anointing. And great works. I said mighty works will be done in your life. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Why don't you thank God that you have an opportunity to it's like fishing, going fishing, that you can throw something into the water and then you'll see a fish come up like that. Isn't it fantastic? You can't catch a fish if you go by the riverside or waterside and just stand there and say, fish, fish, you know I'm hungry. I like tilapia fish. Where are you? No. You have to throw something into the river. And sometimes wait for it. Some of the fishes will come and bite your worm and go away. Some of your offerings might easily go away without being noticed. It's a particular offering that when the fish comes, the hook goes into his mouth, and then you begin to feel the heaviness, and you pull it out. It's a big fish like that. Even natural fishing, you have to put something inside before you get fish. And when you see a man of God who's anointed, and you think that blessings are just going to happen, no, you have to throw something for that which is upon a man of God to be released unto you. Pleasing you.
pleased to be pleased. In you, that is all I really want to do, to be pleased in you, pleased in you, that is all I really want to do. And so I stand in awe of you. Oh, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to obey you, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Oh, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to all praises due. I stand in awe. We sing it one more time. I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you. Oh, I stand in awe. And if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulder, I feel like singing that song tonight. Come on, let's sing it. I know, my brother, that he will carry. He will carry me. Where's Malik? Oh, upon his shoulder. Why did you change the beat? I know, my brother. Who told you to change the beat? So he be carried upon his shoulder. You do what we tell you to do, right? I know, my brother, that he will carry you. He will carry, he be carried away of the world upon his shoulder. Oh, I know, my sister, he will carry you. If he carried one more time, if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulder. And I know, my brother, that he will carry you. My sister, if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulder. My sister, that he will carry you. You are here tonight, you are not saved. You are not born again. If you were to die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Well, say, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that tonight, I want to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand so I will see and I'll pray with you. Bishop, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to give my heart to Jesus. God bless you. I see that hand. Bishop, I want to be born again. I want Jesus. I need Jesus tonight. I want to invite Jesus, the Son of God, into this my small heart. I want Jesus to come and take complete control of my life. You are here like that tonight. Lift up your right hand wherever you're standing.
I will pray with you. As long as your hand goes up, I will pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand there. I see your hand there. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to please come to me. Come. I want to pray for you, my dear, my friend. Come, sister. Come, brother. Come. 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 He will carry you. Come. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. Hey, sir. God bless you. Wow. God bless you. Yes. Who's coming? Clap for them as they clap for them. I'm not clapping for them. Do your gift this small. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Are you coming? Come. I'm waiting for you. Come. 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 Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Jesus is calling you tonight. Clap for him as he comes. Jesus is calling you. Come to Jesus tonight. Give your life to Jesus. Get your life sorted out. Let Jesus come into your heart. God bless you. 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 Ah, them broken lives, he will take them all. The power of the word, the power of his blood. Everything was done. If you are here in front, please close your eyes with me. I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Church, join in as we pray together. It takes a simple prayer. Your life is changed forever. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus to come and live in my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe that by this simple confession, I am saved from hell. I am born again. My name is written in the book of life. And I am now a child of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, I pray for everyone who came. Thank you. Thank you for saving them. Thank you for forgiving them of their sins. Thank you for giving them another opportunity to live their lives. Thank you for a fresh chapter, oh God. I thank you for the escape from the darkness of this world into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. May they live, may they walk with you for the rest of their days. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.